say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, my friends. It's a tad bit windy here. A little cold. Winter has arrived here in Kingman, Arizona. Mid-30s. Tad bit of rain, snow, and sleet. Lots of wind. Had to reset a few connections this morning. Lost power for a little bit. Yesterday morning, we lost power entirely for a couple hours. Always keeps things interesting. Fitting, we've got some our theme music there from Joe and Woody and the boys of the Road Crew, roadcrew66.com. Great road trip inspiring tunes. Perfect for our visit with Chris Tuttle of Arizona Podcast this morning. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Well, good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
You know me, I'd have to be dead a week for it to get better than this.
try to catch up to yourself. You'd be backing up. I understand.
Hey, God, I'm glad you could join us.
Me too.
I am such a fan of your podcast, and I'm eager to see its return this year.
Hey, you know what? 2024 has got to be better than 2023. I mean, it's one of those things, if it weren't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any in 2023 is the way that it turned out. So Mary and I, by the way, just so you know, are so optimistic of 2024. It's all kind of fallen into place. So fingers crossed, a few prayers. Let's see what happens.
Excellent. I had an old cowboy tell me once that he says if he called himself an optimistic pessimist. And he told me once, he said, if you think today's bad, wait till next week when it's worse. And you'll look back on this as the good old days.
That's right. I can so relate with this. Hey, thanks for asking me for coffee this morning. I mean, it's been a while, you and I sharing coffee, even face to face. So I do greatly appreciate the invitation.
I enjoy your podcast immensely, and I enjoy our visits because you have such an infectious enthusiasm for all things Arizona and Arizona road trips that it really gets me moving.
You know what? I have a lot of people tell me the same thing, and they actually tell me to stop talking because I can go on for hours. So when I get to sit and talk with you, and then of course other road enthusiasts, you know, maybe your podcast listeners don't know, I am a huge fan of Route 66, and that's only because I did the trail in the summer of 1969, and it to me it's like yesterday. I could give you more perspective of a 9-year-old boy in the backseat of a 1964 Chevy Bel Air station wagon than anybody else. I still remember things, tornadoes, side of the road stands, and music that was playing on the radio. Everything that was very infectious for me.
You know, you mentioned being able to talk about this for hours. I have been told I can talk about these things for hours, even if I'm the only one in the room and enjoy myself.
That's
and
right.
As far as people wanting to, I used to think it was a compliment. People tell me they wish I was on TV, but they were just hoping they could turn me off.
Yeah. No, that's, you know what? I relate with you, and that's why I enjoy your company. And let's say, you know, for those that don't know, Jim was a guest of my show. And what I really enjoyed about it, to me, I was that infectious kid again. I was 9 years old, and it was like I said, Willy Wonka. I won the golden ticket. I got to sit with you and chat with you about Arizona and Route 66. And now I half a dozen times I've gone to Kingman now, and not only do I have a photo with you in Kingman, I have one with your statue. So, I mean, that says something.
Well, that photo might come handy at the trial.
It will.
Anyway.
they know where to find me already, so it already works.
You know, Route 66, actually today, I think it, I know we've lost a lot of the businesses, the roads broken up in places, but I think it is more popular and more exciting than any time in its history.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost hard to find words to describe what Route 66 has evolved into. It's like America's longest theme park and America's longest small town. It's just amazing.
I think more people, and if I've shared anything, because I'm now, Mary and I are now based in Fort Mojave, which is right along the Colorado River. So I have what they call the tri-state. So I get California, I get Arizona, and I get Nevada. So I get to see a lot of things that have taken place. But one of the things when I talk to people and they say, oh, we're heading out to Laughlin or we're going to be doing something, I will tell them to get off the freeway and explore a little bit of Route 66. It doesn't take but an hour. It adds to the drive, and I understand that, but go see Route 66. People don't realize right off of Interstate 15, let's take an idea here. Somebody's going to come up from San Diego or Los Angeles, and you come up the 15, you jump on the 40, and poof, you're here. Jump off Route 66 right there in Victorville and take a drive north, maybe 2 miles. And you get to see Christmas trees and trees and road signs made out of glass bottles. People just don't realize it's that simple. And then you continue the loop past that, and you jump into Barstow, and then you can jump on the 40 if you wish. But I tell you what, people just take that moment and help support the little businesses that are alongside Route 66, whether it's a cafe or a tourist trap, if you want to call it that, whatever. Just go see it. It's beautiful.
Well, you know, it's non-generic. The key is to take your time and visit with people. Listen to people. Talk to people. Route 66 is not our most historic or most scenic highway, but it's always had the best press and publicity. And as a result, there is a vibrancy that's just not found on US 6 or 12 or 50. It's really special.
Oh, no argument on my point or at all. I mean, how do I put this? You can do all the tourist stuff you want on Route 66, but go explore other areas of Route 66 that you didn't know existed. Somebody will tell you, like Jim. Jim has been telling you where to go for years. So listen to this man. He will share with you some really strange things to go see. I mean, I didn't know I lived like 12 miles away from the backside of, oh, help me here, the springs on the backside of that horrible Sidewinder highway.
Fishbowl Springs.
Fishbowl Springs. I mean, I didn't know that existed, and yet it's in my backyard. So when you can find the little things and go enjoy them and go see them, then you're going to do what Jim and I do. You sit around and talk about it. I mean, and you'll share those stories. Now, granted, one of the things people don't do and they need to, and it reminds me, Jim, if you don't mind me explaining here just a little bit,
no,
is it's like watching an old movie where a town turns into a ghost town because the freeway came in. And Route 66 is a perfect example of that to me. It's like you're driving, whether you're doing the 40 or whether you're doing the 15 or wherever you're going alongside the route, especially here in Arizona along the 40, you're passing by so much history. Seligman, for example. I mean, you come, you're heading east on the 40, you get through Kingman, and you see a road sign that says Seligman with an arrow pointing. Dear God in heaven, pull off the highway and go look. I mean, they may not understand that diner or the snow-capped drive-in or any of those have so much history that if, depending on where you're going, I took my grandson and his girlfriend to the Grand Canyon. And I made it a point that we pull into Seligman. And you can hear the eyes roll in the back seat when you start talking about all these old buildings and the story of Angel and the history of Route 66. I get that. But I'm hoping I left a good enough memory that 20 or 30 years down the road, he'll say, I remember when my grandpa took me here. I hope the town is still around. But it takes people like us to pull off the side of the road, I mean, buy a soda pop if you want to, but let's keep these businesses alive and let's not let them turn into ghost towns.
This younger generation, you know, we lament this a lot, that they're more into video games and their cell phones. It's not that they're wrong. It's just different. Just like when we were kids, our folks lamented where we were going. But if you take time to introduce kids, a younger generation, to the quirky fun at the snow-capped drive-in, or having a sandwich in the Grand Canyon Caverns, spending a night at Earl's Motor Court, I tell you, it makes an impression. They see that the world is not just flat and generic, that there's something there, there's color to it.
Well, Mary is, I'm not the pilot and she's the co-pilot. We're both co-pilots. And she is the best co-pilot I could have. I mean, she I tell everybody, if you use Waze and you see those little Wazer icons on your app, she is one of those queen app Wazers with the little halo around the top. She reports damages on the road. She'll report things that are out there. And Jim, surprisingly, she's been telling me where to go for, you know, over like 30 years. So she's been a really good part of what we do. And we like to find things by accident. So we'll take, yeah. I mean, for we went to Europe. We were in Scotland. And when we got off the plane, we put on our backpacks and we explored Scotland. We didn't get on a tour bus. We didn't do any of those crazy things. And we found little towns. Like you said earlier, stop and talk to people. Learn about where your environment is. And you're going to find out more things. Now, sadly, you and I touched on it, I think, in one of our last conversations. I am so disappointed. Now, I know there's a long list of things to be disappointed about California. But I am so disappointed in California and its carelessness of Route 66. I mean, it's just there's other than, you know, Santa Monica at the pier and making your way eastward. Once you get to about Barstow, it's over. And it's very, very sad that they've allowed that the bridges to not be rebuilt. You can't take Route 66 out of Amboy any further east. You have to jump over on Kelbaker and get on the 40 because that road's been closed since the floods of 10 years ago. Even just a little bit west, I mean, what, 500 yards west in Ludlow, that bridge has been out for 10 years and it still hasn't been rebuilt. So it's so sad we're coming up on this big centennial, and I am probably the biggest advocate. I cannot wait to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Route 66. But in California, it's just a dead stop. So hopefully people will, sadly, bypass all the little towns along the way, and they'll just jump on the 40 and get here in Arizona. And Jim, you, of all people, understand Kingman is probably the first city that welcomes Route 66 travelers from the West, and it does so with open arms.
Well, we've got Oatman, you know, does pretty well. As far as California, you know, before the floods 10 years or so ago, most of the bridges in across the Mojave Desert were wood bridges that were put in, gosh, in the 30s.
Right.
And they were scheduled for replacement or demolition at that time. But since the state and federal have trouble even maintaining I-40, right. The only reason I can see that they would invest in 66 is as an emergency road for if I-40 was closed for some reason as an alternate route. But I don't see, I just don't see it ever being reopened. I just don't.
Yeah,
but so people just, well, you just have to do it different. You take a little side trip up to Essex, Chambliss, and then back to the 40. Ludlow, you mentioned. You know, Ludlow, if you go to the Ludlow Cafe and you go south about two blocks, all of a sudden you find yourself back along the tracks and there's a sign that says Main Street and there's nothing there. But then you start looking and the street is lined with sidewalks, foundations, staircases to nowhere.
Yeah. You introduced me to that, by the way, in our podcast. And I'm guilty. I had never taken that road behind the Ludlow Cafe, ever.
You know, not to interrupt, but one of the things, Chris, too, with states, Arizona, like Chevron Canyon Bridge out between Holbrook and Winslow, I am amazed that the state invested the money to totally renovate that bridge. I'm glad they did. It's in the middle of nowhere. But there are places like that where, for one reason or another, the state is doing something.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's the one thing I embrace and I love about the state of Arizona. I can't wait to see how the cities along the way, the counties and the state, prepare for the centennial. And people I know might be sick and tired of hearing about Route 66, but every mile there's something to learn about. And Jim, you have taught me more things about Route 66. You know, I'm not going to say I knew everything prior. That would be silly on my part. But I tell you, there was just some amazing things to see along the way, and I couldn't wait to learn even more. So people need to pick up your book. I know you can pick them up anywhere along Route 66, but they're available online. I'm not trying to push anything for you by any means, but people need to pick up those traveling books and go learn about what's out there. It's very amazing, the side trips that you introduced me to. And what I don't think people understand is not only do you introduce people to these cities and towns and locations, but you talk to the people as well, and you give people insight of those people.
You know, now I got to go get a bigger hat. For one thing, and I'm smart enough to realize the more I learn, the more I realize how little I know.
Right.
But you had a detour. You had a detour or two to a trip of Route 66, and you can discover things. Here's one. I don't know if you're familiar with this. Have you ever driven the Williamson Valley Road from Seligman to Prescott and then the Senator Highway up to Crown King? We got to talk about that one sometime. You don't need a four-wheel drive. A little ground clearance is good, or a rental vehicle, because those are always the best off-road vehicles. But the Williamson Valley Road is from Seligman. It's the last exit headed east. There's a little truck stop, and then it's signed Williamson Valley. Part of that is the National Old Trails Road. A lot of it is was the Mojave Prescott Road from the 1860s, 1870s period. And there's things, you'll be surprised. You find there's a beautiful steel truss, iron truss bridge back there, steel truss bridge. And turns out it was from down on the Gila River, and it was put in sometime in the teens. It washed out. The state salvaged it and rebuilt sections of it on the Williamson Valley Road. And you can continue into Prescott, and then if you pick up the Senator Highway, which is a 19th century road, that one four-wheel drive might be a good idea. Right. Because you have to cross a couple streams, things of that nature, up through the Bradshaw Mountains to the old mining town of Crown King. And then you follow the rail bed down the other side into the ghost town of Mare and into Cordis Junction. And, is that a drive and a half? It's an opportunity. You feel like you're in the wilderness, but even, you're never more than a dozen miles from civilization.
In life,
and yeah. Lots of, over a century and a half of Arizona history along the roads.
People just need to stop and look. And listen, if people are very interested, and there are people that what I call shutterflies, they love to get photos of interesting sights to see, but they don't want to travel too far off. They don't want to go get a 4x4 or spend a week out there in a hotel. Some of the things you'll see, and I think that's part of my interest with you, was those little back roads of things that people are sure. I mean, I found out, I was like today years old, that I found out the Meteor Crater was not a national park or a state park. It's privately owned. And, mm-hmm. and that was very surprising to me. I mean, you're finding out that these are little local businesses. Now, I was blessed during my radio career, I lived in San Bernardino, California, and all the little sub-communities thereof. And I lived in a little town called Rialto. And Rialto had one of the last three surviving wigwam villages. And I'm very proud to say that village number 7 is still alive and well in Rialto on Route 66 there on Foothill Boulevard. Those are kind of cool to pull off, but you can also see it in Holbrook has one of the last three, which is number 6 in Holbrook, and number 2 out in Cave City, Kentucky. They have the last of the three. But there you go, Shutterflies. Go over and take a picture next to a hotel. But also, if you want to go a little south, and now I don't have you, I don't know if we've ever talked about this. There's a cool little town in southeast Arizona called Bisbee. And Bisbee, if you get a chance to go explore Arizona, my God, go out and see this. Go look it up on the internet right now, Shutterflies. It's called the Shady Dell Vintage Trailer Court. And it is exactly what it sounds like. It's not a hotel, but it is. It's a hotel of vintage trailers that you get to stay in. So Shutterflies, it's galore. The state of Arizona has more to see and more to do than, I mean, I've been up and down the California coast and I've probably seen most of the things I'm supposed to see, but I opened my eyes wider here in Arizona. Those little things that I know you're a big fan of Cindy and Tony. I mean, the Jackrabbit Trading Post in Winston.
Yes.
Go. See, I know. It's a tourist trap. Go see it. Go inside. Look at the jackalope. And if you don't know what a jackalope is, go in and look. Go and see these places alongside and then ask them, hey, is there something close by we can go see that most people don't? Shutterflies, that's where you're going to find some of the best photo opportunities. Now, I can only assume, Jim, that you've been there a number of times, but there's a lot of people that on Highway 19, just south of Tucson, is the Longhorn Grill.
I know of it. I've never been there.
It's a Shutterfly galore. It's a giant bullhead with horns. You pull off the side of the road, take a photo of it, and you can carry those memories off to your family as well. So there is so much to see and do in Arizona, just not Route 66, that I love to go see. Now, I have family that's in Prescott Valley, so between here and there, there's always... And then, can I talk about your backyard for a minute?
Yeah, please.
Kingman is... Boy, you could spend... I don't know how long you've lived there, but you're still finding new things. You introduced me to the little park where you can still see the wheel marks in the rocks of the covered wagons. I mean, okay, that's not a big thing. You get out of your car and you go walk a certain distance. And, okay, it looks like rail marks in stone. But the history that's behind it is amazing.
You mentioned Bisbee. Bisbee is just a fascinating and amazing little town. It just truly is. But you mentioned the Shady Dell. Well, I got something for you.
Okay.
Shady Dell, in one form or another, is coming to Kingman. We've got some folks down here on Route 66, Tim and Lenore. They have bought the 1940-ish mobile gas station on the corner of 2nd and Andy Devine, Route 66. They've renovated that. That's now Desert Outfitters, an outdoor supply store. Next door is a 1930s little stone cafe, been closed for decades. They have renovated that. It's now open as an ice cream parlor. All the buildings between that and the Denny Moore's bar were torn down years ago. Well, they have cleared that property, and they have collected vintage Airstream trailers that they're renovating as motel room. And they're going to be setting those up by next spring. And Denny Moore's is going to be a coffee shop with live music for local artists.
And just in time for the centennial. God bless them. I think that's great.
And you mentioned Tony and Cindy out there at Jackrabbit. The Jackrabbit really, exemplifies not only Route 66, but life before the generic era. That is a one family owned operation since the late 50s. It's been there since the 40s. But their enthusiasm, the way they manage the store, the way they keep it alive, it is a place where the past and the present, the line is blurred.
Right.
They just kept it alive. It's really fantastic.
Well, there's a lot of, again, we're in the Winslow neighborhood. Why is it escaping me? The Meteor Trading Company.
Meteor. Meteor City.
Meteor City. Thank you. Meteor City actually has its own off ramp on Interstate 40, and yes. Yet there's nothing there.
No.
It's to me, the history behind that. Now, a lot of people look at it, it looks like a dome building, mm-hmm. but I still remember seeing that in the movie Starman.
Yes.
And people will look at that and just have and go, oh my God, the history behind that. Why hasn't that opened again? I spoke with the mayor of Winslow, and she is her name is escaping me. She is a wonderful insight of the city of Winslow, and where I'm going with this is that each city along the way always finds one thing to draw people in. And I always thought it would be that Meteor City Trading Post. And although it's been trying to be revived, like every decade, it just does, nobody pulls off Interstate 40. And trust me, this is like 10 feet off Interstate 40, and people still don't stop to go to a trading post or a gift store, which is a shame. But the city of Winslow, what I love about her was, of course, I don't think she was part in the planning years ago when it began, but the Eagles song, Take It Easy. So they took complete advantage, for those that don't know, standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. What a mighty fine sight to see.
A girl in a flatbed Ford.
Stopping by and taking a look at me. They have taken the entire intersection in the middle of Winslow and turned it into the song. Complete with a flatbed Ford, lamppost, a statue of Glenn Frey from the Eagles, and so on. But people drive by 80 miles an hour. Just pull off the side of the road and spend a couple of minutes. And by anything, there's a wonderful little coffee hut in Winslow. Stop off and support the local vendors. That's why they're still around. Is keeping the city alive, keeping commerce alive, and go learn and see what's available.
You know, there's so many places out there. Of course, we were talking about here Arizona and whatnot, but innovative marketing, if you will, has always been a big part of the roadside experience, especially for us in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And on Route 66, it's still alive. And one that comes to mind is Louis Keen out in Missouri with the Uranus Fudge Company and General Store. And if you're a fan of juvenile humor, you've got to stop there. If you're not, take a picture of the beautiful neon wall, the neon signage, and leave fast. But this fella has sold everything on the hog, including the squeal. He started out with a topless bar and a truck stop, and he's turned it into an absolute destination with escape rooms, a double-decker bus that's an ice cream parlor, miniature golf, hunting and fishing supplies store, just everything you met, a circus sideshow museum. But his marketing skills are extraordinary. The local county paper was going broke. So he acquired the paper, relocated it out there, and renamed the newspaper the Uranus Examiner.
I see the puns coming there.
Oh, it's bad. It's just terrible. But he ended up getting the BBC to come, and when he opened the newspaper, and yeah, these quirky attractions are out there. Lufkin, Arizona, the Chief Yellow Horse Trading Post.
That's one of my vivid memories of a 9-year-old boy. I remember it well.
The family is still there. I believe it's Nolan can probably tell me the name again. But David Yellowhorse His family started that as a roadside stand in the 50s and evolved it into the trading post. And he has become an internationally acclaimed knife maker.
Oh.
And that's right there at the Arizona line. And you mentioned the movie Starman.
Right.
Right across the state line, just within spitting distance, is that little trading post built in the cave. And that was featured in fact, it was the primary filming location for a movie with Kirk Douglas in 1953. And if you're into film and celebrity history, that's all along Route 66 as well.
Yeah. And you know what? It was one of those things that swirled around the room and then hit me in the backside of my head. Bertie Kenno is the mayor of Winslow. And as soon as you went into your story, her name just hit me.
Nolan Stoltz just put that up.
What's that?
Her name. Nolan Stoltz just put that up on the screen for us.
Bertie, oh, is that Cano. Right? No, I
didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, Bertie's going to shoot me because we're supposed to have a date on a Saturday night. I understand that she plays DJ in the center of town when people come through. So I told her I will at least come by and say hello. So, Bertie, I'm sorry if you're listening. It was like, I saw your face, but the name, I guess that happens when you get old. Sorry.
Angela and her husband that have put together the Earl's Motor Court in Winslow. Yes. Gosh darn it. I'll tell you, that is a real time capsule. And those people are so passionate for their hometown and for their little motel that opened in 52 as the Marble Motel. And they've really created something special there for their family. Their son's involved, their little boy. And it's really a throwback for me to I remember as a kid playing with some of the motel owner children, things of that nature along the road. And it's so refreshing to see that still alive.
I think the secret here to the success of Route 66 in Arizona is the people that do stop and visit these roadside attractions and these venues and these, again, tourist villages that you're going to find. Seligman's probably and let's talk about Williams as well, the gateway to the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
My goodness, if you just, I mean, sure, you can, you know, zip right by the three exits and get on the road to head north to the Grand Canyon if you want. But pop into Williams, not only the old train depot, and look at Williams. There's another perfect example. The mayor of Williams turned around, and he got together with the people in charge of the railroad, and then those people got in charge of other people. And you now have a railway. You don't want to drive to the Grand Canyon? Take the train. If you don't want to, and now if you do it during the winter, they do, what is it, the Polar Express. And yes, everything is, I mean, they open the door for visitors, but you got to go to the door, guys. Just don't.
You know,
don't.
You've got to go to the door. That's exactly. I like that.
Just, I mean, the door's open. Go to the door, go look, peek around the corner. Even if you don't buy anything, go look, because each town has something to offer that's going to make you stop and go, wow, I didn't know that. I mean, isn't that the whole point to a road trip? I mean, my father, and let me go back. I'm gonna bore you once again, Jim, if you don't mind. The trip that we took from Cleveland, Ohio, where we joined Route 66 at the bottom of Illinois, we stayed on Route 66 the entire time to Temple City, California. And along the way, he would stop. And let me tell you, you get to about Texas and New Mexico, and you are like, if I see one more biggest ball of yarn, or if I see, you know, one of those things as a kid, it's so crazy. I was fascinated by the, you know, the Carlsbad Caverns, the Painted Desert, the Petrified Forest, the Meteor Crater, the Grand Canyon, all those little things you follow, and then get further east and you get in, you see the St. Louis Arch and you see all these things. Take them. If you're going to take a road trip, everybody wants to get there really fast, and then they want to turn around and get home really fast because they're tired. Add a couple of days to your route. Now, let me tell you, I can look over at my co-pilot And her eyes roll when I start talking about certain little things along the way. We've got to see this. We've got to see that. When was the last time, right off of Route 66 in Barstow, is the Calico Ghost Town? Mm-hmm. I mean, all these little things that have been here for years are ending up going out of business because nobody stops anymore. So as much as I appreciate Interstate 40, and it gets me from, you know, San Diego to home in Fort Mojave quickly, pull over and look and see the things that are there. And like you said, I learned more about Ludlow in the last 2 years from you than I've learned traveling that road by myself.
You know, we live in a time that, first of all, if you're into the Holiday Express, Holiday Inn Express, and Burger King, Starbucks, that's what makes you happy, you're going to be miserable on a Route 66 trip. But if you have any sense of adventure, any curiosity, if you have a spark of life, and it's not just like, say, Route 66, you know, any of these back roads, be adventuresome and see where this road leads. It doesn't always end well, but you'll have, at the time, you may regret the decision, but you'll have memories that last a lifetime, and you'll have things that you can laugh about for years to come. I've got my dear wife into, that's why I drive this old Jeep, because we'll see a road and I can't help myself. Well, that looks interesting. Where does that go? And so we end up spending the night in the Jeep because I've got it buried in the sand, and you know, these things happen. It's part of the adventure.
Yeah, you had mentioned Oatman, and for those, I tell people that go to Laughlin and that are going to run out and do the casinos, would you just take a couple of hours of your day and go drive out to Oatman? Trust me, it's you know what, and about an hour outside of Laughlin.
Yeah.
And it's all highway. You're not going to. I took the kid. I took my sister-in-law who came down from San Francisco. I said, you got to go to Oatman because Oatman is run by
desert rats.
Yeah, they're just donkeys everywhere. And the city is given wide open space, and all their businesses stay open to the donkeys. So whether you're standing and looking at a T-shirt and you literally get pushed out of the way by a one-ton donkey, because they have the right-of-way in this town. And what was quite interesting, I hadn't been in Oatman in a few years. Donkeys are very, very smart animals. So they've made it, they've put some restrictions now on what to feed the donkeys. We used to go up with carrots and oats and things that, because you can hand feed the donkeys, the hundreds of donkeys that are there. But they don't want you to feed them carrots anymore because they have so many carrots. There's a word for it, but it's way too much carotene. So please stop feeding. But what's interesting, what I found out was fun, is donkeys have become very smart. So they don't wait for you to come to town. They actually walk down Oatman Highway, Route 66, and meet you about 2 or 3 miles out of town. So, and they literally block the road for you to feed them. And then once you feed them, then they'll get out of your way and you can make your way into Oatman. So it's those little things and those little life experiences. And where I was going with that, we went and had ice cream at a little ice cream parlor in Oatman. We sat down, Mary and I, we had our little scoops of, I did it in a cup instead of doing it on a cone. And I believe Mary had it on a cone, and we sat down, and it was like seagulls in San Diego. You open up your sandwich and it's gone. Literally came in and took the ice cream. Just walked right up, took my ice cream, and walked out the door with it. So it's those little memories that I'm going to be able to carry with me. And if people would just take the time to get off the damn road and go through the door, go see these things. They're amazing.
The mayor of Oatman, Walter.
Walter
is the most, yes, he's the most honest politician I've ever met. He's an ass and doesn't claim to be anything different. But you know, if you want your ego in check, Walter, I was up doing a book signing at one of the stores up there a little while back, and they asked me to take some pictures with Walter, and they did a little video with Walter. And I knew a little bit about Walter. Now, I was really proud of myself. I had 8,000 followers on Facebook and a few other things. And I get home and my wife says, you got to see this. Just the time it took us to leave from Oatman, over 3,000 people had watched that video. And Walter has more than several hundred thousand followers on Facebook. He has his own lines of T-shirts and children's books. Walter's more popular than I am. I guess I'm not a big enough ass.
You're not a big enough ass. You know, I knew where that line was going, but I was going to steal it from you. Yeah, you're not a big enough ass yet, but you'll get there. You hang in there.
Yeah. You know, we have to have goals. Yes. Great minds think alike.
I tell you what, Jim, if more people would sit down and have coffee with you again, it was such an honor the first time we sat. Now it's old school. I tell my wife, she goes, I know, you're going to go have breakfast with Jim. And that takes up half of our day because we cannot stop talking about. I learned so much from you that if more people would just sit and listen, or like I said, pick up one of your books. I have no desire to write a book about Arizona. That's so not even on my radar. I just want to learn more and more things. And if people, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's on your website. You introduced me. I think there's one or two phone apps that are available. One of them you introduced me to is a gentleman, I believe from Germany, that put his together. The international appeal of Route 66 amazes me on our Arizona podcast Instagram page, which I don't think we're still in triple digits of people that follow, but the amount of international followers is amazing to me. It is like a cult thing on Route 66.
Mm-hmm. That's Marian Pavel with Route 66 Navigation. He's out of Bratislava, Slovakia. And I actually met the gentleman at one of the more bizarre things I've gotten into. The second European Route 66 Festival in Zlin, the Czech Republic. And the reason nobody's heard of Zlin, they don't give it away on game shows. You can't get there from anywhere. And yet there's literally 10, 20,000 people from 10 countries celebrating Route 66, American cars, American music. Strange.
No.
I got a question for you. Aside from Route 66 in Arizona, and this is kind of putting you on the spot. Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite drive?
You know what? It's gonna. I do, and it's probably gonna sound like everybody else's drive, but there's a reason for that. Old Highway 1 in California. There's this a very small little beautiful town called Cambria, and Cambria North into Monterey is probably, that's the same Big Sur, you're below Hearst Castle, probably one of my favorite scenic drives. If I could take that, again, another one of those, everybody wants to get their faster stories. Everybody stays on 101 and they make their way up, to wherever they're going, whether San Francisco or to anywhere in Northern California. Get off the damn highway, take the old Highway 1 and see that scenic drive. It will take you 4.5 hours versus 1 hour on 101. I mean, it is like Sidewinder Pass when you get up into that area of Big Sur. But it is the most beautiful scenic bridges, and that takes me to my number two is the road to Hana on the island of Maui. Same thing. That'll take you all day to get from Wailuku, and you make your way into the city of Hana. Just those are my scenics. But if in number one in Arizona, I don't have one yet. I keep exploring, and I'll find a new one. The roads in Sedona. I mean, if you love the desert, you're going to love the roads that lead to Sedona, whether it's the Prescott Valley area where, you know, snow-capped trees, or whether you're on the east side or it's more of a desert area. But Jim, I don't have one in Arizona, and you didn't put me on the spot. I'm open to new adventures and shall always be. Somebody said something on my website once. people say, how can we help you? And I tell them, listen, my podcast costs me $10 a month. I got this. That's not the problem. The people say, how can you help support? And I say the same thing about you. Boy, you know what? Buy us a cup of coffee. Just find a roadside coffee shop, because we want to go explore more roads and we'd like to share these with you, but it's not part of the process to keep us in business. I think that the more you go off road and the tiny little diners, I mean, we were talking again, let's go back to, Bisbee in the Shady Dell. They have Dot's Diner. I mean, go in there and have a breakfast and trust me, you won't forget that you've had breakfast at Dell's Diner. You introduced us and Mr. D's in Kingman. And it wasn't even one of the days we were supposed to meet each other. Mary and I just took a drive and we took the old Route 66 Sidewinder Pass, which is just a remarkable, scary road that you need to do at least once in your life. And then you took your recommendation. We went to Mr. D's, which, if I remember, it's an old gas station / car lot, which is now a diner. Go see these places. Go enjoy and enjoy the drive to get there. Go and don't get off the damn highway. Go see the side roads.
The key to all these trips, whether it's US 650, 191 from Renzi to Alpine, Arizona, it used to be Highway 666, but that's another story. These drives, the key is the people. It's amazing. You sit down and you start talking to these people, the cafe owners, where these things will lead you. I've started showing an interest in a cafe in Williams, and the next thing I know, the owner's got me down in the basement showing me stuff.
Right.
Introducing me to their grandmother who was in Auschwitz. I've met Tuskegee Airmen, Navajo Code Talkers, just simply by having a cup of coffee, stop in a dive bar at night and have a beer.
and listen to their stories.
Exactly. Yeah. And some of them are pretty tall and some of them are even true.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for those that have never had coffee with Jim in real life, that's a hoot. This man knows more things, and I'm so sucked into the whole Jim Hinckley concept that it could be all BS and I wouldn't know any better. And it's not until I retell the story where they go, oh, that ain't right. No.
The worst part of that is, first of all, I want to thank you for the compliments. I it's kind of like the statue down there. I'm honored and humbled, but I sure wish people would wait till I'm dead to be saying these things. But anyhow, you know, I've learned a long time ago that some of the stories, that can't be true. It's just crazy. Well, you know, up in Ash Fork, Arizona, I had a fellow one time telling me about this railroad tunnel. And he started off, he was retired, been with the railroad, and he started telling me about the steel dam. He said it's the only one in the country. The railroad built these dams, and they were prefab, and they'd bring these dams out, and they'd bolt them together. Well, now, that's just goofy.
Yeah.
Sure as hell, right outside of Ash Forks, one of the last ones, there's a steel dam on a little creek there, right along Route 66, just east of Ash Fork. And up the road a piece, the Johnson Canyon Railroad Tunnel from the 1880s, cut through the rock, beautiful stone portal face. Yep, there they are.
Yeah, you just have to go look.
Yeah. And the flip side of that is I'm a sucker for old cars. And I got a book I carry with me a lot. It's a identification guide for all cars made from 1895 through World War II. And I stopped at a gas station, and this guy had an old Studebaker Coupe Express truck. I was up in Colorado. And I got talking about it, and he says, well, if you want to see a really interesting car, and he starts describing this car. And I thought, well, that sounds like a Kaiser Darin. Mm. And so I get out the book and I show him. He says, yeah, that's it exactly. And he says, well, it's at my uncle's nephew's cousin's house, wherever. And he gives me these odd directions. You go up this dirt road, you turn left at the bridge that used to be painted yellow, and, you know, all these weird directions. We get lost, spend the whole day wandering around in this backcountry. And I find the guy, and instead of a Kaiser Darren, he has a Datsun that somebody's cut down into a roadster that caught fire. It wasn't quite a Kaiser Darren, but it was a fun trip.
Yeah, my late father-in-law had one of the last few Hudson pickups that hadn't been turned into a bomb. And you find weird things, and you want to find out more history about the automobile. Jim, I tell you what, we have plans, and I'm going to have you on the show multiple times for the centennial. The Arizona podcast is lined up already with a few cities and a few well, I'll call them sponsors because they're nice enough to let us hang. We're going to be doing live podcasts such as yours along Route 66 during the centennial. We're going to have to hook it up to where we have you stop by and share time with us. 2024 will be a better year for the Arizona podcast. And thank you for hanging on. A few people have made contact wondering what happened to the show. Are we gone? It, like I said, 2023 will just, everybody has a year that you just want to put behind you. And 2023 definitely is that year for us. So 2024 and the future looks bright. We can't wait. Like I said, you've been kind enough to introduce me to quite a few people. One of the plans is, of course, to talk to our friends all across Route 66 during that time and to learn more. I want to get together with Cindy and Tony over at Jack Rabbit and talk to them because I know they have a great history. I still would, and if they're listening to your podcast, I'd like to talk to the people behind the scenes at Arizona. Quite mm-hmm. interesting. They are always in the news and what they're doing to that area. The people don't know that, you know, a drive-through park of animals doesn't exist very much anymore. I remember ours in California. There's so much to see in Arizona, and I want to learn as much as I can. And you, sir, are like a walking thesaurus dictionary. I mean, you are like the madman of Arizona, as far as I'm concerned. And then beyond, I mean, listening to your podcast gives me so much motivation and so much insight. Good. So people need to listen. And like you say to, about yourself, you've been telling people where to go for years and not bad advice.
My pa always said it's better to fill the head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all.
Yeah, listen.
Hey, Chris, thank you for taking time this morning to do this. And as far as hanging in there, I knew you'd be back. You can't keep a good man down. And I am really looking forward to the next season with Arizona Podcast very, very much. And
I have to tell
I want
you,
to thank you. Thank you for doing this morning.
Oh, are you kidding? Thank you so much for the invitation. And I've learned one thing after 30 years of commercial radio where everything's a competition against the next person down the road. I have learned so much about the podcast industry that everybody greets each other with open arms. There isn't this big competition thing. And that's, it's like, what can I do for you? So again, my door is always open for you. If there's anything that I can do for you, you let me
know. Thank you.
And 2024, just so you know, I don't make New Year's resolutions. I'm not that guy. I made my first one and I posted it on your page. And that was, I need to get at least one walkabout with Jim in the morning. But that's going to require me to do that, you know, hour and a half drive to your house and then meet up on the trail and go do the walk. But I'm going to get one of those in for 2024, if not more, but at least one. Okay. So
let's do it. Let's do it. We'll have some fun.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, thank you very much, Chris. You know, I want to throw this out there too for folks. Just once, if you are one of the people that are addicted to road trips, this is a great recommendation. And if you're sticking your toe in the water, you've spent your whole life with a Holiday Inn Express, these kind of things, there's a couple special places that I think could get you into this. One is the Roadrunner Lodge in Motel in Tucumcari, New Mexico. David Brenner has done an incredible job of creating a mid-1960s time capsule, but without sacrificing the modern amenities that we've all come to expect. But it's a real delight in Dell's right across the street. And another is the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri. Connie Eccles has done fantastic putting this back together. It's supposed to be the longest continuously operated motel on Route 66 dating to the mid-1930s. That's another one I really recommend. You can't go wrong. And Connie's hospitality and generosity is fantastic. And in McLean, Texas, in poor McLean, McLean, Texas is not a ghost town, but they're racing to that status as fast as they can, except for people like Angela Moreland. She has restored the mid-1950s Cactus Inn Motel and RV Park in McLean and opened a little tap room downtown. And any of those three will really give you an introduction to what makes Route 66 special: the people, the passion, and the enthusiasm they have. Chris, again, thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
And we'll do this again next week. Next week, we're going to talk to Casey Claypool. She is the director of the Illinois Scenic Byway. But what we're going to be talking about is her adventure with docks just off 66. She has bought an 1870s building that was a one-family-owned pharmacy and drugstore from about 1884 to 2018. And she's turned it into a delightful pharmacy museum. She kept the soda fountain and a wonderful cafe and restaurant on the square in a little farming town of Girard, Illinois. And it's going to be interesting how she's gone about this, what possessed her and her family to take on the task in this faded little town and give this place a new lease on life. So I think you're going to enjoy that a lot. And then, of course, January 20th, I'll be over in Burbank, California, Auto Books, Aero Books on Magnolia Boulevard. They're going to have a road trip day at the bookstore. And I'll be there with some Route 66 souvenirs for folks to help answer your questions and provide a little bit of travel planning advice. My friends, thank you for joining us this morning. And Chris, well, give me a holler. Let's get some breakfast and do a walkabout. And until we meet again, well, how about a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew? Chris, adios. Nolan and Danny and everyone who was with us this morning, we'll do this again next week. Vaya con Dios, mi amigos.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, if you're traveling on Route 66 in Arizona today, check on road conditions. Snow level is down to 3,500 feet. We got a dusting here in Kingman. That means the road east through Flagstaff, William, chances are you're going to be running in snow. It's going to be a little slick and cold. So be careful. Take care, my friends.